Mr. Nelson, are you here on House Bill 1301? We'll take House Bill 1301. It's to authorize the Railroad Authority to acquire certain facilities owned by other railroads and to declare an emergency.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Dana Nelson with the Governor's Office, and I'm here obviously as a proponent of House Bill 1301. Pat Baudet with the Railroad Division is passing out a map to you, and pictures usually worth 1,000 words, so I'm going to rely a lot on the pictures today. You may recall last year during the legislative session, we came to you regarding a stretch of railroad from Aberdeen to the North Dakota border, generally known as the Britain Line, and asked permission to acquire that, because under the statute that governs the South Dakota Railroad Authority, can only acquire property with the permission and approval of the legislature. We acquired that subsequent to that for no charge from Burlington Northern Santa Fe, and have been working to improve that facility or that track. Currently, however, the only outlet for products from the Britain, Claremont, and Amherst elevators would be to the south in a connection with the previous owners, the Burlington Northern. Now, we were able to preserve a connection in Aberdeen with the D and the E, and so that potential also exists. But as we've evaluated the potential to move products out of that area, we've been comparing shipping prices, and if you go to the north, to the Soo Line, Canadian Pacific, the opportunities appear to be far greater. So we entered a negotiation with the Rutland Lines Incorporated, who does business as a Red River Valley, to acquire 23 miles of track in North Dakota. If you look at the map, from Aberdeen, the diagonal line in black is what we acquired last year from the Burlington Northern. The stretch we're talking about is the 23 miles from the North Dakota border to Geneseo Junction, at which point it hits track where Dakota, Missouri, Valley Western, and the Soo Line, the Red River Valley, share joint trackage, and over at Hankinson is where you could connect with the Soo Line, Canadian Pacific. We currently have an agreement on the table we're working with Rutland Lines Incorporated, and obviously we need legislative approval to acquire that. So the issue in front of you is relatively simple. We want to acquire that gold stretch of track from the North Dakota border to Geneseo Junction, and are seeking permission from the legislature to acquire that. I'd be pleased to answer questions regarding this, or I guess maybe roads in general.
Yeah, we'll see if there's any other proponents or opponents before we go into questions. Other proponents of House Bill 1301. Proponents of House Bill 1301. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1301? Opponents to House Bill 1301. Seeing none, questions from the committee of Mr. Nelson, Representative Elliott, and then Representative Gordon Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
I live in Aberdeen, South Dakota. I've been contacted by the some employees of the Burlington Northern Railroad in regard to this issue. Their question was, and I want you to know I'm bringing this question from constituents, not necessarily my question. Why does the state of South Dakota want to buy railroad land in North Dakota with South Dakota taxpayers' money?
Mr. Chairman, go ahead.
It's not unprecedented, Representative Elliott. We originally, when we purchased the railroad in the early 80s, went all the way from Terry, Montana, to Appleton, Minnesota. We currently own railroad track in Iowa down through Hayward and Akron that connects in at near Elk Point Jefferson, and we own into the railroad yards into Sioux City. So it's not unprecedented. The interest in preserving the core railroad in the early 1980s was to preserve the railroad in the state. We were faced with a situation where the railroads were very quickly abandoning. This particular connection would give us a north-south connection that does not exist today for the products that would come off this line and potentially for the DM&E at some point. It's a very attractive in terms of we think there's tremendous potential for this acquisition for that 23 miles.
Any other questions? Representative Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got really two questions, a very small one. What is the estimate of the cost?
We're paying $400,000 for that 23 miles. In terms of evaluating it value in that, we estimate it was probably worth in the neighborhood of $350,000 to $500,000 based on the salvage value of the railroad required, the width of the right-of-way, and what that land would potentially
Wing. Okay, and what funds do you use?
From the Railroad Trust Fund.
Railroad Trust Fund. Yes, how much you got in that now?
I asked Roxanne Rice that the day before yesterday, approximately $4 million.
Thank you.
Representative Flowers.
Then, is in section one, I guess, line 12, where it said subject to existing mortgages on or security interest in such property. Is that part of the $400,000, or is there any mortgages or security interest?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Flowers, that's sort of standard language that's been used throughout. As part of the due diligence, we are examining that and don't anticipate there are going to be any. But that has been standard language. I'm probably not any better explanation than that.
Representative Hennis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Nelson, I'm just wondering, this line is being used right now, is that correct?
Well, currently this line is what they call embargoed because there's some soft and wet spots. There's approximately three locations on that railroad. Railroad people went up there and looked at it late last summer. That will require considerable repair, I guess. I mean, I don't have any estimates at hand, but we did examine that. It has been embargoed by the Red River Valley for nearly 3 years.
Okay. Follow-up question, if I could. Besides the low spots, in what kind of shape are the ties and rails in?
Probably fair to good. We are looking at a short line regional railroad. That's not uncommon. An awful lot of the rail in this state is 80, 90, 100 years old. So that's not unusual.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Colo.
Dana, who's going to pick up the tab to repair this line?
We will, as a state-owned railroad, and then the operator will pay for the privilege of operating on there. Similar to what Burlington Northern does on the Coal Line, where they pay us an annual fee for operating on there. But initially, we will repair it. And if our agreement is structured similar to the Burlington Northern agreement, we would defer that maintenance to them in the future as the operator of the line.
Representative Koester.
Yes, Mr. Nelson, what were the results of the public hearings on this?
There have been no public hearings, Representative Koester.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
I believe this is the public hearing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Gordon Peterson.
Yes, this is the line, I believe, that was the last year that they come in and they wanted the line from Britain in, and we worked a deal out with some rail authority up there for Britain to hook into this line. Isn't this a continuation of the same purpose?
Mr. Chairman, that's essentially right. The black line from Aberdeen to the North Dakota border was a stretch of about 50 miles that we acquired last year through negotiation with the Burlington Northern at no cost. And we did have a bill that we introduced late in the session with the suspension of the rules to allow us to acquire that. That has happened. We have that agreement in place.
So now then people from Britain can get on this line in as well as Aberdeen?
Well, yes. And if I may just... What the new acquisition would do is allow the railroad to go two directions. Currently, we're dead-ended at the North Dakota-South Dakota border.
That's correct. I know that.
Okay.
If you could hold it down, committee members are visiting with one another, and it makes it difficult for me to concentrate. Representative Koistinen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a follow-up, you were asked who is going to pay for the repairs. And you said South Dakota. Is that coming out of the Railroad Trust Funds then, or?
Yes, it would, Representative Koistinen.
Representative Flowers.
How heavy is the rail on that line? Is that a 60-pound or?
I'd have to, that more debt's in the room.
That's been up there and high rail debt. The weight of the rail.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it's a mixture of 80 and 90 pound rail, about half of each. And to answer some of your previous questions, the line right now in 23 miles is capable of handling essentially 10 mile an hour track, or 10 mile an hour traffic, except for one spot at the there's a refuge up there called the Teowakan Refuge, which had some considerable damage from 93 and 97 flooding, and that spot's the one that we need to address to repair to get it active.
What does it typically cost per mile to update the trackage? Counting the ties and all the rock and.
If I may ask, mm-hmm. or if I may respond, if you were to repair the track to 25 mile an hour condition, say, anywhere from 30 to 50,000 per mile.
Thank you. Representative Tupel.
A question for either gentleman here. What's the expense has been on the part we pushed the last year? I assume that you've gone in and you've done some upgrade on that, and what kind of dollars have we had to spend on that, the part that we got last year?
For the 50 miles that we acquired in South Dakota, we spent $33,000 on that to get it up to a FRA-acceptable 10-mile-an-hour track. So it's passable at this time.
Hearing no further questions from the committee, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 1301 for our committee discussion and or action. Representative Tupel. Motion do pass. Is there a second? Representative Gordon Peterson seconds. Discussion on the motion. Hearing no discussion on the motion. Those in favor will be say aye. Those opposed nay. The secretary will call the roll. Tupel made the motion. Gordon Peterson seconds.
Abdullah?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Flowers?
Aye.
Grizzly? Hennies?
Aye.
Koistinen?
Aye.
Knoll?
Aye.
Koistra?
No.
Jim Peterson?
Aye.
Tupel?
Aye.
Van Norman?
No.
Gordon Peterson?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Two no's. Ten to two.
House Bill 1301 goes to the floor on a vote of 10 to 2.